Welcome to season two of the Pursuit of Living Well podcast, you guys. It's been amazing so far, and the interviews are only getting better and better. I want to ask you some questions. What do you need to change in order to live a life with intention, to move the needle forward and give you more meaning? What would you do if you knew that all you needed was already inside you to pursue that life? What changes would you make to your current life if you knew that everything was going to be okay? Sit back, put your headphones on, and take it all in as my guests bring value to your day so that you can be in a better frame of mind to go do that thing to which you were called. I'm sitting here at the cottage on the Crystal Coast here in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, recording a podcast, and I am in absolute heaven. You guys, the cottage at the Crystal Coast has expanded to be the first small music venue here on the coast of North Carolina, housing ticketed events, live music, and entertainment. The number one question I get asked when people are coming to visit the area is, what do we do? So I can tell you the first thing you need to do is go to www.thecottagenc.com. They will have a rundown of any live music, any event, anything that is happening while you are here right there on their website. They have the capabilities to not only host weddings, but maybe you're looking for a place to have a corporate event. You might be looking for just a place to have meetings, retreats, private luncheons, private dinners, parties, really community functions of all kinds. The cottage has come to be known as the only oceanfront privately owned venue on the entire coast of North Carolina. I love the people here. They strive to offer their clients an upscale, intimate experience where no detail is left behind. They want their clients and guests to remember their venue and staff and their hand-selected partners by one reason and one reason only. They want to be remembered by how they made you feel through their ability to serve and execute your memorable event. Alrighty, so here we are, episode 45.
45.
Nice. Yeah, the Pursuit of Living Well podcast. And we are over on the beach. It's cloudy, it's rainy, surf's up, but not. It's like a washing machine out there right now. But I am sitting here with somebody that I have been following, because if you know me, you know that I reach out to people on Instagram that trigger something in me that I have to get to know them, like now. And it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Two years. And so I have on the podcast today somebody that I didn't even know his name until about 4 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew him as Complete Outdoors. Didn't even know that he lived here in the area until a friend of mine said, oh, you know, Anthony. And I swore up and down, no, I don't know an Anthony. I don't know an Anthony. And I had shared one of his posts about his mantra. We're going to get into that here in just a second. But yeah, so Anthony Williams, thank you.
Oh yeah,
I'm for joining me today. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah,
and we'll probably hear Jessica and Kelsey running up and down the stairs a little bit and coming in and saying hello. You can come say hey, say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Appreciate
it. Yeah. So here we are at the cottage over in AB, the only oceanfront venue, and she was kind enough to offer it for us to come and actually talk face to face.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Oh, this place is gorgeous. Thank you.
I know. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's gorgeous. I enjoy coming here. Just kind of being that close to the salt water.
I know.
Yeah.
So yeah, good. Yeah. So the very first time that I'm going to get back to what
drew me in on Instagram. But the very first time I met you, you came with a smorgasbord of bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about your bourbon.
Oh, I am a bourbon. I'm a bourbon snob.
Yeah.
I love bourbon. Uh-huh. I love good bourbons. And I love the fact that so many people misunderstand bourbon. Like they had like the bottom shelf Evan Williams, mm-hmm, and they're like, mm-hmm, oh my God, I can't drink that. I can't drink that. And I think there's a bourbon for everybody.
Yeah.
Because bourbon picks up where rum leaves off, and then it stops where like the Irish whiskeys pick up. So there's something in between. I love it. There's a bourbon for everybody.
What got you started?
There's
got to be a story. Yeah.
Well, it actually was my business partner, whenever I went over to his house, he would have whiskey, like as in, Scotch, Oban. And I was a huge Scotch guy.
Okay.
Right. But it was there and I was like, okay, you know what? I like this. And then we would have a cigar, you know, over Scotch, and which was great. And then I got into the upper end bourbon side. Somebody said, hey, try this bourbon. And I tried it and I was like, okay, that's not the bourbon I know. And then after that, bourbon became like my jam. And so then after that, I decided, just as in everything else I do, I was like, you know what? Bourbon's good. What do I need to do? I'm going to go to school for it. Like, I'm going to become a bourbon steward. What can you get by doing schooling for bourbon? So I said, forget it. I'm going to be a bourbon steward. And so I did it, became a bourbon steward. So now I do bourbon tastings at places and people travel for them. So which is cool. So it's cool to see.
When are you doing one around here?
the fact that we're here at the cottage, there was mention of it. We've got here in North Carolina, we got a lot of stuff. We got the ABC board, mm-hmm, that we have to deal with. And mm-hmm, so you have to be able to, if you're an event, and there's ways around it, but if you're an event, you have to get that stuff through the ABC. And which is fun because there are great bourbons at the ABC, but when people come to a bourbon tasting, they want to taste something that they don't get to see.
Right.
And there's a lot of bourbons not here in North Carolina that I have as a stash.
Yeah.
Like
we tried.
Yeah. 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 Oh yeah. We had Weller 12. Yeah. We had the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. You were like, well, so you like bourbon, but what have you had? I'm like, I don't know. I just talk to people that are like you and they're just like, here, try this. And I don't even know what I tasted. I just know that there's a difference with that than what I drink at home.
Yeah. It's so much.
I mean, we grew up on like Crown and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's Woodford and Bullet now that, you know, I'll get when I'm out. But, you were throwing some stuff out there. I'm like, oh, this is good.
Oh, good.
Talk to me about the cheese, though, because I bet you they don't know about the cheese.
Okay, gotcha. So whenever you have, so cheese is meant to have with wine.
Right.
Like cheese is not meant to have with bourbon.
Y'all hear that? Amber, my sister.
Yeah. It's meant. So when you have cheese and when it goes in your mouth and the coating on it, it produces this heat that comes out of the bourbon, like the rye side, and every bourbon tastes young. So if you've had bourbon after pizza, this is to everybody out there. If you've had bourbon after pizza and you don't like bourbon, there's a reason. It's hot. It tastes like fire. But if you just have like, and depending, like you mentioned Woodford.
Uh-huh.
Woodford has, I think it's like 109 tasting notes in there. And so you've got oranges, you've got pepper, you've got chocolate, you got so many different things that when you have it, pairs really well with Woodford, mm-hmm, which is smart of a lot of restaurants around here, mm-hmm, to carry Woodford, right? Yeah. A lot of the upper end bourbons, you know, you just don't know where the gamble is, mm-hmm, but that's just smart. But anyway, cheese and bourbon are not friends.
They don't do it.
No,
don't do it.
No,
don't
no, no,
do
no,
it.
No.
I remember sitting there and you were like, okay, either you're going to taste the difference or you're not. And all I could taste at the moment, of course, this was our fifth or sixth one in. And,
Maybe.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's a little spicy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was crazy,
but it was good.
It was a fun night.
Good.
So let's back up. Let's circle around because I want to tell everybody why you're sitting here today. The very first time that I ran across your Instagram came from something that Big Rock reposted of yours. And you were so freaking excited watching all the other boats just like off to the races, you know, you're going out there, but you were just like, check this out, you guys. And you were just like, get it, you know, and it was amazing. I was just like, yes, there's somebody else out there that gets excited about other people being excited.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me all day long.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow this dude. And so I followed you, and you would come up every once in a while, you know, and always something motivational, always something like pumping people up and all that. And then this last probably 6 to 9 months, you started showing up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah.
I always say, okay, whatever, God, universe, whatever, is bringing this person into the orbit because we need to get his message out. And so you've got a mantra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good mantra.
It's a good one. We're gonna get to that in a second. But my whole message in life is that it is a journey, it's a dance.
Yep.
It's never ending. And the pursuit of that thing that you want to do so bad or that place that you want to be is always growing, because once you get there, there's always something on the other side of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So success is never ending and the journey is never ending. And there's always a pursuit of a life lived well. And you have a similar message.
Oh yeah.
And so I had to bring you on because I want you to talk to me about that.
Okay.
You're like, there's lots of places we can go.
So that mantra everybody hears and it's created a lot of followers is get your ass up.
Yep.
Right. And it's get your ass up, G-E-T-C-H-O, ass up, or yo, wow. And what it is not to necessarily wake up. Some people think it's just to wake up in the morning. We all have different times that we sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the get your ass up means do it, whatever it is. Like, I wanted to, I wanted to do it, so I went to school for it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed fishing, so I became a captain, right? I went to school, became a licensed captain. I liked that so much, I was like, well, I'm running an outboard boat, but what happens if I run a diesel boat? So I went to diesel school. Well, I wanted to scuba dive and jump in there because somebody wanted to do it, so I became a scuba diver. Then somebody start free diving, so I went to school for free diving. It's just, you can't stop. You didn't work this hard to get this far to only come this far. Like, you came here to go like far, right? So do it, get your ass up and get it done. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes from.
I read something this morning, because every morning after I work out, because I go work out a little earlier than you do. I'm at the gym between 4:15 and 4:30.
Nice.
And I'm back on my routine because I got out of it during the last 2 years. But as soon as I'm done, before I go home, because I know that when I go home, something there is going to pull my attention. It's like squirrel, you know, getting stuff done. I have to set my intention and set my day. So I drive over here to the beach and have a quiet time and all this. So all of a sudden, and I don't know why, but real strong, I remembered the scripture verse. That says it's 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, what does that mean? It was like, it's in your freaking DNA.
Yeah.
And we forget it. You embody power. You embody love for life. You embody balance and sound mindness. Anxiety and fear, you learn.
Yes. Yep. That's 100%.
And I used to say, you know, like just like persistence. When a child, we're born with persistence. A child learning to walk. They fall, they get back up, they keep going. They may only, you know, they're crawling and they maybe they can't figure out the crawl. They're scooting, you know, and they keep on. And what are we doing? We're like, watch.
Yeah.
And we're cheering them on, right?
Yeah.
We don't do that for each other as much as we do for that little kid learning to walk.
Oh yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, life. Mm-hmm. Life did that. Like, we weren't born a candy ass.
Right.
We became a candy ass.
Right.
So when you're going through doing whatever it is, and the first negative thing for some people, it depends on who you are. Mm-hmm. When you find something that kind of shuts you down and puts you down, it sticks with you. Like it sticks with you, like all the way in your core. Uh-huh. And so the next time you're presented with something, you embody that negativity.
Right.
When you need to look forward and go, you know what? Let's do this. So every morning when I get up, it's my objective to motivate somebody else. And I'm getting messages. Karen, the people that are messaging me is like crazy. They're like, look. And then that one is finding me through one person and then another person and another person. They're like, look, Anthony, look, this person told me about you and I'm going through a rough time. And I had this one guy, man, he hit me hard, but he contacted me the other day and we talked on the phone. He said, I heard about you through a buddy, Guyon, at Green Creek Outfitters. Mm-hmm. He said, I heard about you through him. And he used to be this mean, hard person. And now he posts about you every day. And he's like, I got my ass up. It feels so good to be so good. Guyon is a professional surfer and mm-hmm. he is absolutely phenomenal, mm-hmm. but he lost his groove mm-hmm. and he just needed a swift kick. And somehow through Instagram, mm-hmm. he found it. And now I've got professional surfers contacting me, some friends of his that are contacting me. And they're like, look, I need to get my groove back. And I'm like, well, I can't necessarily get your groove back, but we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, and so he talks about it. And what I'm learning is that there is every negative in his life, he brings that negative out and lets it carry. Mm-hmm. But every negative that he told me was a positive. Mm-hmm. Like he would go and do something. And let's say if it was fishing and didn't catch fish and something, and he's like, man, I went out there, you know, took off work and went fishing. I said, good, you went fishing. You took off and you went fishing. Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the positive.
Yeah.
And so we flipped the switch.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Every morning, it's my objective to find a way to hit somebody. And it's not, everybody doesn't get hit by the same thing.
Right.
It's whatever triggers it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, feel it, whatever it is, recognize it, get in, but what are you going to do about it?
That's right.
What are you going to do about it? What's the next step? My sister has a saying, and she was on the podcast this last week, and she said, because she used to run track at Durham. I think I mentioned her to you the other day. But she said it used to be don't talk about it, be about it. And now it's like don't dream about it, be about it. She's like, do it. Yes. Just do it.
Yes.
Why are we so afraid to take the step forward to something good?
Safety and comfort. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why we're not doing it.
Nailed it.
Like everybody is you do what's safe. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like the reason why people stay inside, today's a rainy day.
Yeah.
People stay inside because it's safe. It's right. warm, but there's a lot to be had outside in the rain. That guy, Green Creek, he sent me a message today. If everybody's thinking about today as being gloomy and negative, he said, the surf's high. He's like, it's raining. It's a great day. It's a great day to feel so good.
Yeah.
And so that's what he's doing today. And you just got to look at everything, not from such a negative light. It drives me bats. Mm-hmm. It drives me bats. Mm-hmm. And when you wake up during the day, the first thing you should do is surround yourself with positivity. So Christians, me, I'm being a Christian, one of them, but they wake up and you find that motivation, whether it's the Bible, whether it's just alone time, it could be music or it could be anything, but don't wake up and hop to the email. Don't wake up and hop to Instagram and look at somebody else that's negative. If you know doggone well, when you pop on Instagram, you're going to see somebody positive to motivate you, then fine.
Right.
But other than that, do not start your day negative because it brings you down.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Just run away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, I tell my gals all the time, before you even open, when you realize that you're awake, find something immediately mm-hmm. and be grateful for
yep.
it. Immediately, I am thankful for whatever that thing is.
Yes.
And if you're not doing those things, filling yourself up
yep.
with positivity and all of that, you can't pour into somebody else because we can only hold so much, right?
Yep. That's right.
Especially when we deal with the public.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're getting all the messages on your end. I'm getting messages on my end. Same type of thing. Who was it? Bob Marley that said, some people feel the rain, others get wet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
You know?
Wow. I like that.
And I'm
that.
Just like, yeah, I love it when it rains.
Yeah.
I love it when it rains. I go out there, you know, if I don't have to be anywhere else, and I literally just stand there and just let it just rain over me. And see, I love it. I absolutely love it. And there's something about taking joy in all of the beauty outside.
Right.
Whether it's like the weather is like a woman.
Oh boy.
Especially on the East Coast, you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No.
But it's natural.
Yeah.
It's natural. We have, and just like people in general, we have good days and we have bad days.
Yeah.
It's natural, but don't stay in the bad days because the sun eventually shines.
And see, for me, the rain is the good day.
Yeah.
So the rain is a good day because right now we're in the spring.
Yeah.
So what do we got? Pollen, right? So pollen.
Yeah.
What do you hope to happen? You want that pollen to get washed away.
Right.
And then it's also the spring. So you want your flowers to grow. Right. What is it going to take? It's going to take rain.
Yeah.
So you got to find the positive in whatever it is. And I find positivity in rain. And I love it. Mm-hmm. So
kind of
weird, but it is what it is.
No, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I want to circle back because everybody that meets you now doesn't know where you came from.
Oh, yeah.
Single mom.
Yep.
Rural town.
Yep. That's right.
No indoor plumbing.
Nope.
Had to make your own entertainment.
Yep. That was us. That was us. It was, so I'm from Warren County.
Uh-huh.
Right. And the way that I tell people, there's so many great things about Warren County. There's Carr Lake on one side, Lake Gaston on the other.
Yep.
Right.
Beautiful.
So it's a beautiful place, but there's a lot of stuff that wasn't so beautiful. Like, so if you were to Google PCB dump and stop, you'll see it was Warren County. So that history, that's another topic for later, but that's where I'm from. And my mom is the most powerful woman on the planet, right? She, the way she orchestrated my life was, you can't, my mom is a doctor. She has me to church all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
But the way that she orchestrated my life was, you can't do it. Like, you can't do that to a kid. Like, you can't have a kid and say, hey, this is the way we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We were in tobacco fields. Mm-hmm. Like, we worked tobacco. We went to school late to work tobacco. Right. That was how we bought our clothes. That's how we did everything. And then my mom opted. She didn't want to be on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved into a house. That house didn't have indoor plumbing or whatever. And my room was like the frost box back in the back. The heater, the wood stove was in my mom's room, which is like the shape of an L. Yeah. The house was the shape of an L, and the small portion of the L was my mom's room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the top of the L, all the way over there. So it was the icebox. So when you woke up in the morning, the first thing you did, you got that fire, make sure that fire was going, and you had to get to mom's room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you got there, and then the way you took your shower, everybody was like, hey, wake up and take a shower. I'm like, well, hell, what if you couldn't just wake up? So you go in there and you boil the water in this big silver pan,
right.
Boil it. And then you mix the cold water with that. And that was how you got your day started.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is I'm going to go forward and go back.
Yeah, no,
but that creating all of that, learning all of that and having your own fun and not like lavish toys and video games or anything like that. We created our fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would go outside and take a small sapling tree that's not too small, but it about this little bit about between a 2-liter bottle, maybe a little small.
Yeah.
And we'd bend it over at the top. Somebody would climb it to the top and bend it over.
Yep.
And then somebody would climb on it and everybody would get to the end and shake it until you fell off, right? Like, it was like so much fun. Like, the stuff that we did was crazy. And that propelled to me starting along my business partner, starting the Tumble Gym for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we started that and it was like, people were like, how are you going to do this? And it was like, well, we're going to make it happen.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. And I remember when I started that, that was in like 2007, like November 2007, I sat in the space that was going to be the gym. There was no walls. It was just the alleyway inside of a place. And I just sat there with a table and a sign that says, I'm bringing gymnastics here. And people were like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they look around and there's nothing. Like yeah. there's, I can't begin to tell you that there was nothing. But I knew that I was going to get people. Mm-hmm. I just needed a couple of people to sign up so that I could get the money to be able to build the walls.
To build right? it. Right.
And so I got these people, and some knew me from the community or whatever, because I hustled as a personal chef. I went to preschools and did gymnastics for kids or whatever. And I worked at a gymnastics gym in the area before. But so, and these people start signing up, and I was like, great, here we go. So we finally got the walls. We bought the equipment used off of somebody. Like we did whatever we made the front desk counter or whatever. We painted the walls bright. Right. So it would look like fun.
Yeah.
And there was no ceiling.
Yeah.
We didn't have a ceiling because we were inside. So if anybody's playing outside, they kick a ball, it fly in the middle of class, hit a kid upside the head or whatever. But we were like, this is going to work. Mm-hmm. And people were like, nope, I don't know how you're going to make that work. And I was like, damn it, it's going to work.
It's going to work.
And so we took that thing, and within 8 months, we opened another one. Like we were like, dude, we got this. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go. And so then after that, we opened another one, then another one, then another one. And it was like, it was contagious. What we produced, it was great. And every community needed it. So now back up, because the stuff that I did there at that gymnastics gym mm-hmm. was not conventional mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. All right. So I put like slides for kids through the wall. Like I would see, I was crazy. But anyway, that all came from that Ridgeway, Warren County experience where I didn't have anything. And so back to the orchestration of my mom creating what she did when she did. So going there, she ended up, she was cleaning houses. And then one of the ladies she cleaned the house for asked her to keep her kids. Mm. And so again, I'm going to use race because it's important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a white lady who my mom kept her kids, and she was a school teacher. Mm-hmm. I would go, her name is Jeffrey Evans, and she passed a couple of years ago. My mom would take me there, and then she would take me to school with her, right?
Okay.
So I would go to school with her. So I had that 20-minute ride in the car with her every day. Mm-hmm. She was very influential for me, like very influential. So, and I would take that ride and go with her to school. And then when I got to school, high school, I would go to my class, I would do whatever. During any free time, Miss Evans would have me come to her office mm-hmm. and because she was like a counselor-ish, and put me on the Mavis Beacon typing program. I don't know if you remember that, but I would sit there and learn to type. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, and she would tell me, Anthony, we got to get you on the boat. So they had like a little boat, and this sparked it, right? Because I was on Car Lake.
I was going to ask you what started the whole boat thing. Yeah.
So, okay. So she would take me to Car Lake, and I learned how to, I got up on skis the first time, and I was like, boom, because I was a water kid. I love the water because we're right there. And then we go and we're skiing or whatever, and I'm loving it. So then we come back, fast forward, there was another lady who were like, Miss Mary, which is my mom, mm-hmm. we need you to keep our kid with Jeffrey's kid. Mm-hmm. And they were friends. They were mm-hmm. both school teachers.
Okay.
This was Miss Lehman, right? And Miss Lehman was the art teacher. So Miss Lehman and Jeffrey were good friends, and both of them had a place on the lake. My mom kept them. So then Jeffrey's kids were older. So they had graduated or moved on to school. Uh-huh. And so my mom started keeping them at home. And so Miss Lehman would drive by, drop her kids off at my house. All right. At our house, we had mm-hmm. moved by then. Mm-hmm. And then I would get in the car with Miss Lehman, and I'd have that 20-minute time with her. Right. And so I'd have that time with her. And she was so motivational. She just wanted us, myself and my brother, just wanting us to propel so much. She made sure, in fact, both of them and my mom, my brother got into Carolina, mm-hmm. right? Went on to being a successful attorney, left from being an attorney, and start working with Ancestry.com and traveling all over the place. And then now he works for the National Humanities Institute. He travels all over. So that's that brother. And then at the time I got into NC State, which that's a very short conversation. But anyway, but Miss Lehman and those guys are beneficial uh-huh. to, because where I'm from, where we were, like we started out in a place called the Pines, and the ability to see up, like to see the next level mm-hmm. was, it's hard when you live there.
Right.
Right. So people wonder why, like they're like, well, you know, young Black kids or whatever, why do they get into this type of situation or this type of situation? The thing is if you don't see up, you can't be up.
Yeah.
And so if the only thing you're surrounded with is what was left over from wherever, you can't see up. Well, Miss Evans and Miss Lehman allowed me the ability to see up. And I was like, you know what? I want a house like that. I want a boat. I want this. I want that. So I was able to see it. And there was a, and so that's kind of like a, hopefully that was a good spiel.
That is like perfect.
I wanted to give a shout out to three different brands that are close to Anthony's heart that he really appreciates and wants to support. One is East Coast Waterfowl. The second one is Green Creek Outfitters. And the third one is KUU, Outdoor and Sporting Goods Company. When it comes to your gear, you don't want to leave anything to chance. We'll have the links to their Instagram profiles in the show notes.
If you don't have someone, which brings me to the point of how important it is to have accountability, because if you don't have someone else showing you what's possible, then you're left to your own devices to only either go look for it or you're stuck in that place of whatever your experience may be.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that you said, it's like somebody is placed in your life that, you know, taught you that more was possible. More mm-hmm. is. And I think that's important for everybody. And I think, let's talk race.
Yeah.
You know, being white, there is such a thing as the whole white privilege and all of that kind of thing, because we don't, for the most part, a lot of things are handed to us. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah. It's,
you know, I mean, it really is. It's a completely different oranges and apples,
yeah.
But a lot of things are handed to us and so many of us now, I'm not going to say everybody, but so many of us really don't know what it's like to not have, and then what work really means
mm-hmm. yeah.
to have what it is that we want. And so if it's too hard, if we have to think too hard about it, or if it doesn't come easy, we don't want to.
And see, that's a,
we don't want to put our, we don't want to yeah. sweat.
Well, there's a, that's an interesting thing that you said, but, and again, what you're speaking about is you're speaking about the majority, right? Because naturally right. you're going to hear, I mean, I've
oh,
got
yeah.
buddies that have
oh, yeah.
dug through the dirt.
Oh yeah.
And so,
I mean,
we get
me
that.
Me being
so,
one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so I hear that, but so in general, yes, mm-hmm. that it, there is a difference. And I hope that people don't ignore it. Like it doesn't exist.
Right.
And I've got some Eastern North Carolina stories that are just really, I'll tell one of them. And that guy that said what I'm about to say, it circles back.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already been, I was already established. I bought a couple of properties here and I went over to the boat ramp mm-hmm. in Beaufort, mm-hmm. just across at Town Creek. And I went and I bought a brand new Carolina Skiff 258 and I put it in and I needed the gas to circulate through the engine. And so I put it in and I just kind of putzed around right there around Town Creek. And then I was done.
Right.
So I go and I take my boat and I put it on my trailer. And I was about to pull it out and I looked over to the right and I saw a boat over there with the engine hatch up and I saw two older ladies and a young man there, and they looked deflated, uh-huh. like they were going to go on a boat ride, but something didn't work out.
Right.
And every boater knows this.
Right. Yeah, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So something didn't work out. So while my boat was on the ramp, I walked over to them, being the person I am. I said, hey, looks like you guys are going to go on a boat ride. Looks like something's not right. But if you guys want to go on a boat ride, I'll be glad to take you guys on a boat ride now. I was about to go out. I got stuff to do, but I'll be glad to take you. The ladies were super nice. Mm-hmm. They just kind of let the young man talk. Mm-hmm. That young man went off on me. He said, "We don't need your effing boat. Mm-hmm. You effing in." Mm-hmm. And da 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 da. My mama, that's my mama and my aunt. They don't want you. They ain't whatever. And yes. I was like, holy goodness. So I was immediately, I said, okay. And I said, no problem. And I turned around and I walked away. Mm-hmm. And I went over and I got in my truck. I was like, wow, that was an experience. But
yeah.
I've seen it before. But yeah. So it let me walk away. Well, the mom came over and apologized for her son, mm-hmm. which it is what it is.
Right.
Fast forward a year later, I was at Carrot Island and I was grilling mahi tacos that I had caught the day before. Uh-huh. Right. And everybody knows me. If I cook, you can eat.
Smell it.
Yeah. And you can smell it. Whatever. Yeah. So anyway, but I was cooking and some guy comes over and goes, "Hey, remember me?" And I was like, "No, actually I don't." And he came over. He was like, "I was the one at the boat ramp that day." And da, 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 da. I said, and I told the people I was with, I said, "This is the guy that I told you the story about." And I said, "Come on over, man." And so I fed him uh-huh. mahi tacos. And we talked. We exchanged numbers. And then when it was time for him to leave, his boat wouldn't start. So I towed his boat back to Beaufort and then just kind of left it at that point. Mm-hmm. The moral of the story is that everybody asked me, they were like, "Man, did you get the blows with them there at the boat ramp? Did you not? I'd have kicked his ass. I'd have done this." And, da, da, da. And I'm like, why? So God has a plan.
Yeah.
So that next year when I was there with him, mm-hmm. with that guy, and I fed him, right? And people are like, "I can't believe you did that." I'm like, "No, I did." Mm-hmm. Because why am I going to let him think that I'm what he thinks I am?
Right. Right.
Because if I was to do that, then I justified every thought in his mind. Mm-hmm. And I want that to portray more than anything in the world. Like, and the other instance was going to a grocery store here. And when I went to that grocery store, every time I walked in there, the manager would have somebody to kind of follow me around. Right. And I kind of noticed and I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So then guess what? I go to that store every day now and I go every morning mm-hmm. and the produce manager knows me and the people at the deli and the meat guy, Jim Williams, he knows me. And then this person and everybody knows me. And I made sure, and I still go there. Why was I, a lot of people, I wouldn't have went back. Well, why? So now the perception of whoever it was, and they might not even be there anymore,
right?
Because it was years.
Right.
But the perception of whoever it was has lost that perception about a young Black guy going into the store.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So, and I'm hoping that that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, and if we don't change the way that people perceive things, then nobody else will.
That's right.
You know, it's that whole thing about having a sound mind. That's what you were given.
Yes.
You weren't given the other. He learned that.
Yes. Yes. You will learn that. That's exactly right. That.
Having a sound mind, which is good judgment, having mm-hmm. balance, being calm. That's God given.
Yep.
Which you were embodying and he totally just, Which it's that way with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we act based on our past experiences instead of what we want our future to be.
Mm. Powerful,
you know.
Powerful.
So. Talk to me about. So you've got several businesses right now, but you have this ultimate goal, which is with your Complete Outdoors.
Oh,
Let's talk to me about that. And go ahead and let's give a shout out to the clothing to
brand. All right, brand. So, yeah. A couple. First,
we'll put all that in the show notes too.
Well, it's Kuyu. Kuyu is a brand that is, it's like the upper echelon of camouflage clothing. Uh-huh. And you'll see me with it.
Yep.
I support them 100%. Between them and East Coast Waterfowl, you'll see me with them, right? Mm-hmm. So, but big shout outs to those guys. So Complete Outdoors is because if it's outside, I do it. And if it's, I will harvest any animal. I travel to Canada. I'll go to Alaska. I'll go anywhere mm-hmm. and to harvest an animal, right? And my ultimate goal with Complete Outdoors is to allow everyone, and whether people of color, like people who've never experienced it, I don't care what color you are, mm-hmm. but to see the outdoors from my perspective and to show you that you can do it. So many people, I've got wealthy people who are like, man, I need to do that someday. What the hell are you waiting for?
Let's do it.
Well, yeah. I'm like, okay, let's go. Yeah. Don't tell me. Like, if you go and tell me, like, you give me 2 seconds. You, hey, Anthony, I want to, okay, you ready? We're going to do it in September. If you good, you good. I'm good. Well, I don't know when my bank account set up. No, I'm just kidding. But
well, look, I've heard that excuse.
but there, people come up with every reason in the world as to why they can't do it.
Right.
And my ultimate goal is to do the things I'm passionate about and let that become everything I do that I'm passionate about is a business. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to fish, became charter captain. Mm-hmm. Right. So something that can offset this, right? Mm-hmm. If I was white, I'd have tanning beds, right? So it'd be, I'd own tanning beds.
Whether it's good for you or not, right?
Somebody's going to pay for that tanning bed, right?
Right.
So that's the way it is. And I'm an entrepreneur deep down, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, entrepreneurship is fun. And then some days it's not, but then it's like, God, I'm so glad I own my own businesses.
Yeah, freedom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day, it was Mike Aiello with Investing for Freedom podcast. It's really, really good. He said, what defines freedom for you? And a lot of people say time. And I'm like, no, it's the ability to choose mm-hmm. and the ability to be able to make my own choice.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes.
That's freedom to me. I don't want anybody else calling the show. I am unemployable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because you get to go. Yeah, I know what that feels like. I know what that feels
like. Right.
But in actuality, now that I've done it during these times right now, number one, I'd be the best employee ever. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I will make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why I can't be an employee.
Right.
Because number one, I'm going to outshine everybody there. Nobody's going to bust their ass more than me. And then all of my coworkers are going to hate me. And then the owners will like me, but they're going to watch their back because they're like, he's going to come and he's going to take over the company and create the same damn thing. So I'd be the best, worst employee you ever had. You know, it'd be like contract on top of contract on top of contract to make sure that I can work there.
Yeah. What is your funniest story going hunting?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Funniest. Oh Lord. Oh, I got a couple, but this one's pretty bad. So when I first got, well, not first, but I was diehard into whitetail hunting and I wanted to travel for the first time. So I went out of state to hunt whitetail. And when I got there, it was during mating season, right? So it was a time where you use all the scents, you use the deer urines and you use all that stuff. Well, I went across this field. So imagine a perfect sheet of paper, like a square. I'm on the short end and I walked over to the other end of the paper. So once I got there in that side, there's some trees. Mm-hmm. I went in the trees and I got in there and the urine in my pocket, it was in a glass bottle. It burst, right? So it burst and it's during mating season. So, and the deer that I saw up there were always bigger than what we have in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about massive.
Huge, yeah.
So it's dark. It's time for me to leave. I didn't see any deer, so we're good, right? And the only thing I got to do is walk straight back across that field, that sheet of paper. Well, instead of going, it's dark, so you can't see. So instead of walking straight across to the other side, I end up going at an angle a little bit, right? And then I get there and I hear, which is the sound that a big mature deer makes, right? And it's like, and I'm like, I'm about to get mounted. Like he's about to come, like mount me right now. I was like, all right, dude, what do you do? And it just kept, and so I walked a little and I was like, I don't know where to go because it feels like he's right here. And then I heard this on the ground and I was like, oh boy, I don't want to be in prison right now. I was like, please. And then it just kept getting louder. So I pick up the phone and I call the people on the other end of the field. I say, hey, look, I think I'm a little mixed up. I didn't want to say I'm scared. You know, I pooped on myself or anything. So I'm like, hey, hey, can you turn a light on so I can see? They were like, why don't you turn the light on so we can see where you are? And so I turn the light on and I hear, and it's breathing like right at me. And I turn the light on. They're like, oh, you're over by the horse pasture. They're like, just come back over this way. It was a daggone horse. And he was like breathing, like he was right there, man. I was like, oh, dude. Yeah. Oh, I was, yeah, that was my funniest story. And I, if you can imagine, it was dark and I got this urine busted all in my leg. I just knew I was turning somebody on. But anyway, so yeah,
that's
I've got funny. A lot of them, but that was definitely.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. Yeah. That is so funny. If you were able to live anywhere to do what you love other than here, where would you live?
Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Montana all day. I hunt Montana every year.
Yeah.
And there's, it's the most welcoming, beautiful place
mm-hmm.
I've ever seen. And I've been to Alaska. Alaska, everybody loves Alaska. But Alaska is just so far from everything. But Montana is the perfect medium for Alaska. And I'm telling you, tell anybody, they talk about a big sky. And you're like, how can there be a big sky? A sky is big. And it's not. It's completely different.
Yeah.
Like if you look outside, we are closed in by the clouds, right? The clouds are so high there mm-hmm. and the mountains are so high that when you look out there, your mind says big sky,
mm-hmm.
right? Low humidity and the animals.
Beautiful.
There's elk, there's grizzly bear, there's black bear, there's moose, there's goats, there's sheep, there's whitetail, there's mule deer, there's everything that I want to harvest is in Montana. And that's why I love it.
I love that you use the name harvest.
Yeah. 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 Cause it is harvesting.
Yeah.
Like we are, there's a different, and people lump hunters together
mm-hmm.
and you shouldn't
mm-hmm.
like if a hunter to me and all of my network and everybody, we are thankful
mm-hmm.
when we harvest, like when we get an animal, we are 100% thankful.
Mm-hmm.
We give thanks to God. We are, because we wouldn't have that opportunity without him.
Yeah.
Right. So, but there are people who kill.
Right.
So there's killers and then there's hunters.
Right.
Right. I'm a hunter. That's yeah. what I do.
Yeah. Do you find that you have more people wanting to do the fishing thing or wanting to do the hunting thing?
Being that I'm here in North Carolina on the coast, the people that contact me are people who want to go hunting. Right. Right. Because we're here on the coast. Because
we get the fishing here the fishing, automatically. Right? Yeah.
So I get the people that they look at my at Complete Outdoors and they go, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go on the airboat and go down the river mm-hmm. and go after a caribou. I want to kill a moose. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm like,
let's do it.
Let's go.
Have you ever taken a group of all women?
No.
No. Follow-up question would be, would you ever take a group of women?
To do what? Fishing?
No,
or
hunting.
Oh. Okay, so my daughter,
mm-hmm.
my daughter is a hunter,
uh-huh.
right? Big time hunter.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a not quite a plug, but keep it on wraps, everybody out there, that we may be on an ABC show, my daughter and myself. And we will probably, we're going to film. It's not going to be this summer. It'll either be this summer or next summer.
Awesome.
And it's a survival show for team. My daughter's 13 and it's a mentor, which will be me and my daughter. And we would go out and live and she would have to compete like Survivor and all of that
in
games of, survival, like making a fire, building a shelter, living in the woods, maybe hunting or whatever. We don't know any parameters, don't know where we're going to be.
Right.
We're just going to get dropped off and have to make it work.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I say group, I'm thinking like no more than three or four at a time. I know
what type of animal, what is the harvest? Because that's what matters.
Okay, I'm going to talk about myself. Okay. I have always wanted to go deer. Okay. I've always wanted to go deer, right, so deer or duck.
Deer, we can do that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I will talk. I will, if you get the group of girls together, mm-hmm. or ladies mm-hmm. together, I will talk to Guyon, and mm-hmm. Guyon's going to listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. He's at Green Creek Outfitters.
Oh, awesome.
And he's out of Arapahoe. He's got a lodge and everything out there to can make sure he takes care of you. But you get there, put you in a blind. We'll make sure you can shoot first. Make sure everybody can shoot. We'll put you in a blind, put you where you need to be, and let you harvest. And then after that, I'll break down the animal and break them down, quarter them up, and all that stuff. And then you can take them to a processor, or you can have your steaks and enjoy.
Yeah. I had my best friend, gosh, I haven't seen her in a long time just because paths went the other way. And I think I mentioned this to you when we were out on the deck back there. Her husband goes out to Montana every year, and he's out there for 3 weeks and brings home their meat, you know, for the year. And that was some of the best meat.
It's great after looking at the way all the other animals are processed, mm-hmm. and know that we get this humane, the way that we go about mm-hmm. doing things, and then we process it ourselves, we handle it ourselves, we know how long it's been warm or whatever, or left out or whatever, we know that. And so that's what's good about harvesting your own game.
If there was one thing that you would tell everybody listening, I'm just gonna, what would you say? with anything that we have talked about?
The main thing it would probably be my mantra, which is get your ass up. I want everybody out there to don't just dream about it. Like, and that's what drives me crazy is everybody has dreams, mm-hmm. but I've heard a million times dreams without goals are just dreams, mm-hmm. right? You got to set goals and set small, achievable goals. It doesn't matter what you want to do. If you want to lose weight, gain weight, put on weight, get a new job, get a boat, get a big house, get whatever. It's small, achievable goals along the way. And then you feel successful. Like, it's like waking up in the morning and making your bed. You've accomplished something, right? Mm-hmm. So, or going to work out. There's an accomplishment. So the thing that I would say is small, achievable goals for everyone.
I think that's amazing. Just as Nike says, for lack of a better word, just do it.
And right? Art Williams.
And
that's
the other one.
Yeah, that's my other one. Yeah. Just do it. Yeah. Just do it. Don't just talk about it. Just do it and find a way. And your question is, well, how do I do it? Mm-hmm. You do it. Like, well, what do I do?
You figure it out. Yeah.
And I see that kids nowadays don't have that because their parents don't allow them to figure it out. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. Have you heard the book, Who Not How?
I've heard it. I haven't read it.
It's probably, you don't even need to read it. It's one of those you can listen to and get what you need out of it. But basically is surrounding yourself with the people, the who's, mm-hmm. that either give you the how or do the how that accomplishes the dream that you desire.
Yeah.
And so many of us want to know the how before we can get to the what, mm. when we haven't even taken the first step yet.
Yep.
And so I think that's so important. Yep. Where can everybody find you?
Well, Instagram is my thing. That'd probably be the easiest way, at Complete Outdoors. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have Instagram, I apologize. Just contact Karen. She'll find a way to get in contact with me. But that would be the easiest way to reach me, because my outdoor activities are just that. They're outdoor activities for me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'll be working with Real Current. You can look them up, www.realcurrent.com. They are, that's a 58-foot B&B that I'll be fishing this summer.
Nice.
So that's a great boat, but they can find that. But again, Instagram is the best way, at Complete Outdoors, or contact you.
Because or contact
you,
me.
Yeah, you can.
And I'll just shuffle you on over. Yeah.
Because that's not the outdoors portion is not a business, right? It's a passion.
It's your passion, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing that I ask people is, what are you passionate about? Yep. What sets your soul on fire? And you had it. And I'm just like, I got to get him on. Because the more we see people like you, the more it lights the path for us, yes, and gives us hope. And so I appreciate you.
No problem. Thank
and
you.
I appreciate you being on here and being willing to share and your excitement.
Well, that was good. Thank
He's
you
my
so
hype
much.
Man.
Hype man.
Hype man. Thanks. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day today to listen to this latest episode. I would be forever honored if you would give us a 5-star review. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave those in the comment section. And we look forward to seeing you next time.